our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs, MP3s, or written transcripts of today's program, Glenn Greenwald, In Defense of Civil Liberties, call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Special thanks to Barbara Ventrello and the Lannan Foundation. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. It is 10 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up at 10:15 is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on stage and studio, Demay Roberts welcomes the creatives behind two plays currently running at the Profile Theater, Water by the Spoonful and The Happiest Song Plays Last. At 11:30, Art Focus speaks to the director of the Northwest Film Center about animating life, the art, science, and wonder of Laika, running now through May at the Portland Art Museum. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. And now, after this announcement, will be Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. But first, this announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences. Dante and the like-minded youth of the city mount an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet with the hope of starting a dialogue about violence in the city. PDX Poetic Justice's John Slaughter and his group of poets will be reading some of their works before the screening. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course your fake news radio. 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. We are, as we pause to get our guest Fred Oberlander on the line, got a little bit of weather for you for today, since the weather is pretty harsh out there, pretty lovely. Partly sunny today, highs around 50, and east-northeast winds, 15 to 17 miles per hour, could gust up to 24. Tonight, overcast skies at low around 41, and still windy, gusting up to 23. A little bit more wind out in the gorge, and for tomorrow, rain is likely. Later in the morning, highs around 50, and for tomorrow night, rain, lows around 42, and still a little bit of wind, around 11 miles per hour. And the chance of precipitation is pretty much absolute. The theme for the week is, of course, citizens vote, consumers buy. So it's bye-bye voters. And because, after all, you cannot build a revolution on full bellies. We are pleased to welcome Fred Oberlander to the KBOO airwaves once again. Good morning, Fred. We're very happy to have you as a guest today.
Thank you. By the way, as a corollary to what you just said, throughout history, you might be interested to know, certainly in Western civilizations, revolutions only need about 5 or 10% of the disaffected people to actually take action. Back in the 18th century, only 10% of the colonists took arms against the British. Most of them were either neutral or sided with the British. Whatever it is, only 10% of the people are enough. You don't really need to rally 100%. You need a small proportion willing to stand up for their rights.
Yeah, that is encouraging. What's going on, though, the so-called deep state in this country is extraordinarily compromised. That would be, I say just that as an opinion, because we don't know as yet the extent of Russian involvement in our political system now, and apparently going back for a while. So we're looking at Robert Mueller's actions recently, and finally what you've been saying for a very long time, but you've uncovered due diligence plus Felix Sater's activities. Did you bring the listeners up to speed on that? Because we have such a short amount of time, and then I'd like to ask you again what Mueller took his time to bringing this to light.
Let me give you a guess. This is the best I can do, is give you a highly informed guess. First of all, the indictment of Paul Manafort didn't charge him with tax fraud the way your listeners would normally understand it. Technically speaking, he is not charged with tax fraud in the sense of deliberately not paying tax. He's charged with related crimes in the sense of hiding his income, but he's not actually charged with the tax fraud itself. There are several reasons for that that I think your listeners would care about, and to keep it as simple as possible, President Trump can pardon Manafort for anything and everything that he's done at the federal level, but he cannot pardon him from state crimes. And a state like New York, and I assume any other state that has a state income tax, is perfectly free to pursue him criminally, Manafort, and prosecute him. But sometimes states can't do that if they've already been prosecuted at the federal level for the same crime. So in simple terms, in my opinion, the charges that Manafort brought were deliberately tailored to be such that even if Trump Mueller brought against Manafort were tailored so that even if Trump pardoned him, Mueller would face prosecution by the state of New York, for example, which is why you get all the announcements from Eric Schneiderman that they're running their own investigation. Mm. So for one thing, if any of you listeners are curious about why it took so long to let out a mouse, or what appears to be a mouse, first of all, he's looking at 6-7 years in jail based on what he did. Number two is, even it was designed in such a way that it would send a message to everyone who understands federal prosecution that even if Trump pardons, the states can get them and there's no way they're getting out of this. So if that's of any reassurance, that's my opinion on why it went down the way it did. As to what else Mueller is looking at, all I can do is tell you, you mentioned the deep state. You have never once asked me about anything about Hillary Clinton or Uranium One or anything like that. I can tell you, for example, that Big Rock took in money, among other places, from Kazakhstan, and I can tell you it sent it to an affiliate called Big Rock Natural Stone, which is in New Jersey. I can tell you that it wasn't supposed to do that, that their internal people were very angry that it was siphoning off the money. And I can also tell you that Big Rock Natural Stone, not too long ago, donated $650,000. I don't recall whether it was to Clinton's campaign or whether it was to the DNC, but it shows up on the list of 100 largest political donors to the Democratic interest. So draw your own conclusions, but what I'm saying to you is a deep, deep error in thinking that it's only the Democrats or the Republicans. It's the deep state itself. Think of it as a football game where nobody moves the ball more than 10 yards from 50-yard line because the deal is nobody really goes after somebody to kill them because they know they're going to be next when the other side takes power. So does that explain it in any sense, that way it makes sense to you guys, that you're looking at a system in which corruption has become ingrained, a sense of entitlement, a sense that the people that went to the right schools and so on are entirely entitled to do things and cut corners because that's how everybody does it?
Yes, that does. I hadn't got to the Clinton and the with Clinton and the uranium deal. I felt, I don't know, we've had, there seems, I myself completely not blindsided, but there's a lot of material here. I wanted to note that your partner Richard Lerner was quoted on NPR program All Things Considered yesterday, talking about exactly what the two of you have unearthed, and the fact that National Public Radio would actually dip its toe into this is certainly heartening. A lot more, I believe, needs to be revealed, that all of the things we've spoken of, with the exception of Hillary Clinton's involvement in this uranium deal, all of that has finally emerged from its, I guess, deep state status, and perhaps people will show enough interest in it that we will finally approach something.
You remember what Ben Franklin said on July 4th, 1776, when he walked out of that Independence Hall? There was a mob of people standing outside waiting to see what they did. Supposedly, he came out and somebody said, "What kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin?" And his answer was, "A republic, if you can keep it.
Thank you so much.
But what he meant was, I'm sorry, do you need me to go?
No, go ahead. Please, please say, tell me
what he meant was this. In Athens, everybody thinks of Greeks as the fathers of democracy, but we don't have a democracy. Athens did. In Athens, anybody over the age of 30 who was a white free male was free at any time to walk into the parliament and participate in drafting bills and voting on them or sit on any jury he wanted to. That was full participatory democracy. We have a republic. We elect people to speak for us. Supposedly, we do that to protect the minority. but it also runs the disadvantage of entrenching the people who speak for us, because they